it was the tradition in the first century for the preacher or teacher to sit, to teach. And so I'm going to do that today. Carol and I got home just a few days ago from our journey to Oklahoma for our daughter Rosanna's wedding, which was wonderful, and which is why we're here at home in quarantine. It was a strange and unsettling time to travel across the country for a lot of different reasons. Oklahoma is a two-day trip by train, and Amtrak has very strict regulations that everybody has to wear a face mask, that we have to observe social distancing at all times. And we were very glad to comply with all the rules, and we were certainly very thankful that the people around us, for the most part, were also respectful of the rules and careful. But just seeing all our fellow travelers, even little children, wearing masks was a continual reminder that the threat of the pandemic is among us at all times. This new disease that has taken the lives of over 700,000 people worldwide, more than 160,000 Americans, more than 30,000 New Yorkers, all in less than 1 year. And that is a very troubling thing. We spent quite a few hours, a lot of hours, in the lounge at Chicago Union Station. And there's a huge TV set there that continually plays the news of the day. And that was also very unsettling. The day we were coming home, there was the huge explosion in Beirut. And we saw the devastation, the panic, the suffering played over and over. That day there was a report of a 9-year-old boy who'd been killed in a shooting that day. And that was also the same day that Representative John Lewis's body was carried to lie in state in the Capitol building. And that loss felt so huge. I watched his flag-draped coffin carried slowly up step by step and remembered the sacrifices that he had made for his whole life and the many dangers that he faced to make this nation a place of justice and of equality. Remembering his hopefulness and his humility and his kindness, and I felt a little overwhelmed by how much still remains to be done, by how much more will be needed from us to overcome the racism and the injustice that still infect our society just as surely as the coronavirus does. Oh, and if that wasn't enough, there was also a hurricane. It is pretty clear that we are living in stormy times in every sense of the word. In the gospel story today, the word Matthew uses for what the waves are doing to their boat is literally a word that has to do with torture. Literally, it says the waves were tormenting the boat of the disciples out there in the middle of the sea, in the dark, in the wind, and the driving rain, threatening to break that little fishing vessel into pieces. It doesn't take a great imagination to see that just like that little boat, our fragile world is being tormented day by day, rocking wildly on waves of hatred and suspicion and fear and anger that are dividing us one from another. On every side we see sickness, we see poverty, homelessness, war, so much violence and injustice and human suffering that even the news can't keep up with it all. And then right here at home, we all find ourselves in the middle of our own personal life storms of one kind or another. We're battered by broken relationships or by financial insecurity or illness or loneliness or fear or bitterness. Sometimes it seems like the troubles facing us are more than we can bear. Sometimes it is very hard to feel hopeful, even about making it to the other side of this trouble that we're facing today. We get tired. We get tired just like the disciples must have been so weary, weary to the bone from the struggle of trying to keep that boat from being swamped by the waves and the wind. Because the truth is, most storms are much bigger and much more powerful than we are. That's why right here and right now, in the midst of all the storms, we need to know that the Jesus who walked out on the raging sea where his friends were floundering in their fishing boat, that same Jesus is with us here now, not metaphorically, not figuratively, but truly with us. He isn't a ghost. He isn't a metaphor. He isn't a myth. He isn't a memory. He is living flesh and blood and ever-present spirit. He hears our cries of fear. He sees our hopelessness. He knows how tired we are growing of the battle. And he's standing not off on a mountaintop someplace, but right here in the thick of the tempest. He's right here with us. In the middle of the howling winds and the driving rain and the crashing waves. When we are battling the storm, he is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And he calls out, "Take heart, it's me. Do not be afraid." There is nothing we face that is so dark or so powerful that Jesus is not right there in the midst of it with us. The psalmist says, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." In our very darkest times, when our fears or our sorrow or our anger crash into us like the waves of a stormy sea, Jesus is there in the midst of it. And just like Jesus called Peter to step out of the boat and onto the churning surface of the sea, that very same Jesus gives us the power to step out in faith towards him, the power to go out in the storm, and the power to not be destroyed. Of course, the other part of the story is that Peter's faith went all to pieces when he looked around him at the waves rushing toward him and heard the howling of the wind. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and all of a sudden he was going down like a bag of rocks. And there's no mystery about that. Peter did just exactly what you or I or any other human being has done any number of times. But Jesus was there, and no sooner did Peter begin to sink down under the waves, and Jesus' strong arm caught hold of him. And as soon as they were both safely back in the boat, the wind died down and the waves grew still. The storm was over. And then Jesus gently and lovingly rebuked Peter for giving in to fear. "Why did you doubt, you little faith?" That same Jesus catches hold of us, keeps us safe every time we forget for a moment that he is the one who is Lord over the wind and over the waves. Because we're little faiths too. We're no better than Peter. But this is not a story about what we are supposed to be, what we're supposed to do. This is a story about who Jesus is and what he does 2,000 years ago on the Sea of Galilee, and also today in Norwood, and also in Beirut, and also in Chicago, and anywhere and everywhere God's beloved children are being tormented by the storms of the world. Along with the disciples, we fall on our knees and we worship him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Hear the voice of Jesus, who is with you in all of your storms, yesterday and today and forever. "I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you." Amen.